Do you feel youth activism is on the rise?
For sure. Young people are increasingly aware of global issues, and the movement's growing. The school marches for climate change across the world have been massive. I think we're going to see more and more of this, as the youth know it's their future in question.
What do you think is behind some of these movements? I mean, a lot of people are almost dismissive of youth activism as if it's just, you know, as easy as hitting a like on a Facebook page. But as you mentioned, we're seeing people taking to the streets, and we're seeing individuals like Greta Thunberg taking world leaders very much face-to-face to task. Do you think that's there's sort of, you know, this interesting balance there?
When you hear Greta speak with that passion, you can't help but feel something, I think. I know some people have their criticisms, but there's MPs across the world that have even noted that they've been affected by the way she sort of, I don't know, says it in a different way. She calls us to task, and she, you know, yeah, our house is on fire, I want you to panic. It just, when she says it, it just does something, I think. But when you see young people trying to get adults to change, I think it's really powerful.
Do you see this as an effective method of change, youth activism, and these calls that really challenge, channel that kind of passion?
Yeah, I think that you can see the evidence for that in the shifts in the way that we've been treating climate change, in the way that the media's started to treat climate change and reductions of emissions in such a way that Britain has called that climate emergency. It's made it very clear that we need to make change on multiple levels. And I think she's really made it personal, that people living high consumption lives, that our lifestyles need to change, that governments need to enable that change, that we need a transition process and a plan, so that we can allow future generations to live on a healthy planet. It's really become very real. And I think Malala and Greta and the youth on the streets just demonstrate this courage that we need more of our politicians to have. A clear message to put well-being before money, to change, you know, to change so much of our lives that we probably can't imagine to be possible. But then, you know, the anti-flying movement that Greta's sort of been a part of and showing us, well, these are some of the sacrifices we're going to have to make. And that actually has been effective. It's led to, I think it was something like 4% decrease in flying. That was before Corona. and an increase in trains in Europe, domestic flights there. So I think that there is a tangibility about the impact that they're having. And I think it's really very, very, that passion is really sort of very effective. It hits us.
And I think it's interesting too, given the meeting between Greta and Malala, because, you know, obviously on the face of it, perhaps their two issues that they are representing are very, very different. And yet at the same time, climate change is ultimately, and we don't seem to acknowledge this or realise this, climate change is also an issue wrapped up very, very tightly in human rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. And has this multiplier effect, doesn't it? On human rights abuses and conflict. And I think we're only just really starting to see how that might play out over the years as it becomes, the weather becomes more extreme and it becomes more difficult to grow food and access fresh water. I think it just spurs poverty and it spurs wars, and it makes first fear and then, you know, authoritarianism. And so there's these interconnections that you might not think about when you treat climate change as this separate issue, but when you realise the interconnectedness of all these systems, social systems and ecological systems, you realise that human rights and climate change and, you know, the sort of climate justice movement brings it together. And then there's the way that education for girls has a positive effect on mitigating climate change, which is also less discussed, the way that in addition to being this basic human right, it helps stabilise population growth, which is a big factor in reducing emissions in the long run as well.
Just as a final point, as you are sort of looking into these issues, you're probably more aware of those issues than I find that young people, you know, the likes of Greta or Malalia or just those kids that take to the streets and say, look, you know, this step far and no further kind of thing. Young people are taking me by surprise in the way that they approach youth activism. So it almost seems to me like, you know, some older people really struggle to understand what's going to happen next, what is going to be happening next. What do you think the face of activism will be looking like in the next few years?
It's hard to say how it will change and evolve and how that youth activism, I mean, I think it's just going to grow. I think that you know, Extinction Rebellion, that, I don't know, that the non-violent action for change and protest, I think, is maybe having a comeback in terms of the way it was so strong in the 70s. And maybe we'll see more of those kind of unique kind of things that people did back then, you know, for feminist movements and whatnot. I mean, it's great that these young voices are really being listened to, with being acknowledged in the Nobel Prize and whatnot. I think we can see more involvement of young voices in decision making.
Well, Juliet, do appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks a lot, Sean.